Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It was quite a moment in the U.S. Senate yesterday. A sitting U.S. senator, Republican, taking on a sitting U.S. president, Republican, in the gravest terms, as dangerous to democracy. Another Republican senator warning that Donald Trump is debasing the nation. And both Jeff Flake and Bob Corker now not running for re-election. This hour on Point, the latest broadsides against Donald Trump and the future of the GOP and the country. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. How should the Republican Party, the country, respond to these warnings? Are they wrong? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. It was quite a scene on the Senate floor. I have never seen anything like it. Arizona Republican Jeff Flake, he was up for re-election. Now he's not going to pursue re-election. His poll numbers are not good. But there he was in the starkest kind of warning about what's going on, talking about the degradation of our politics right at the top of the government, he said to the executive. Here he was.
If we simply become inured to this condition, thinking that it is just politics as usual, then heaven help us. Without fear of the consequences and without consideration of the rules of what is politically safe or palatable, we must stop pretending that the degradation of our politics and the conduct of some in our executive branch are normal. They are not normal.
You had to hear it. Here he was. More. From the top of our government, he said, a danger to democracy.
Reckless, outrageous, and undignified behavior has become excused and countenanced as telling it like it is, when it is actually just reckless, outrageous, and undignified. And when such behavior emanates from the top of our government, it is something else. It is dangerous to a democracy.
And outside the Senate chamber, Republican Senator Bob Corker saying to CNN's Manu Raju yesterday, President Trump will be remembered for the debasement of our nation.
I think at the end of the day, when his term is over, I think the debasing of our nation, the constant non-truth telling, the name calling, the things like, I think the debasement of our nation will be what he'll be remembered most for.
The debasement of our nation. Response from the White House? These guys are on the way out. They don't have the support of the people. Here was White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I think that we support the American people on this one. I think that the people both in Tennessee and Arizona supported this president, and I don't think that the numbers are in the favor of either of those two senators in their states, and so I think that this is probably the right decision.
For them to leave. Wow, here we are. What now? Joining me first today from Washington is Aaron Blake, senior political reporter for the Washington Post. You can find his piece headlined Jeff Flake's Big White Flag in the Face of Trumpism at our website, onpointradio.org. Aaron Blake, welcome to On Point.
Hello, Tom.
Big white flag. So there was clearly a denunciation here. Big white flag, also a surrender here on Jeff Flake's part.
Yeah, I think that the comments made by the senator on the floor and in the interviews that he did after the announcement were certainly a rebuke to Trumpism and the president, a pretty strong one, probably an unprecedented one from a Republican. But there's another side to this, I think, that he, in deciding to retire, effectively conceded that Trump is winning this battle right now inside the Republican Party. He said that it wasn't even really worth his time to try and win a Republican primary against a pretty poor primary candidate that's challenging him. he was asked about this actually in an interview with Jake Tapper, which I thought was really interesting. And Tapper asked him, you know, if you think this battle is so important, why not bring it to the voters? Why not make this case to Republican primary voters and let them decide whether Trumpism is the future of the Republican Party? And Flake's response was basically that he thinks this is, his quote, a fever that will eventually break, but that it won't break by next year. So I do think the fact that he has decided to retire rather than fight for reelection is in a lot of ways a white flag in the face of Trumpism. And it shows that Trump is winning when he goes after these other Republicans.
Flake was saying this morning, Aaron, on CNN's New Day, that there were other Republicans that he thought would come to his side, that would speak out. Here he was.
Well, I'm not going to describe a private meeting. I can just say that a lot of my colleagues share the concerns that I raised on the floor yesterday, and I believe that more of them will speak out in the future.
Aaron, do you see that coming? Do you see Republicans lining up with the president or responding to this fervent appeal from a fellow senator right there in the Senate chamber saying, we cannot go further down this road? Which way do they turn?
Well, if you look about a week or two ago when Senator Bob Corker said almost the same thing about his Senate colleagues, he said that a lot of them agreed with the criticisms he was making against President Trump. Since then, Flake is the only one who's joined him, and he only did it when he, like Corker, announced that he was going to be retiring. So we have two Republican senators in the whole Senate who are announcing that they're retiring. Both of them are criticizing Trump. Nobody else has gone nearly as far. That's a sign that Republicans know exactly what this means as far as winning re-election, and it's exactly why the vast majority of those Senate Republicans are not going to be joining in this criticism, because they are self-preservationists. This is a political standard for politicians to basically avoid anything that could endanger their careers. And this is certainly something that has proven that it can endanger a political career.
Self-preservationists. But even when a fellow senator is saying right in their face the preservation of the country, of the democracy is at stake here, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a courageous thing to do, but this is kind of how you're bred when you become a politician and you try to win campaigns over and over again. It becomes difficult to step outside of what other politicians are doing and go out on a limb. There may be a lot of Republicans who do feel like Corker and Flake. There may be a lot of them who don't necessarily agree with everything that the two of them are saying. I suspect that there are some who do agree and haven't totally voiced everything that they're saying, but it's a difficult thing for all of them to do. I would add also it's difficult because a lot of them spoke out against Trump during the 2016 campaign. They thought he was dead in the water when that Access Hollywood tape came out, and they denounced it, and then he went on and won. So a lot of them have to be looking at that and saying, what am I really going to gain by saying all these things? Am I really only going to be strengthening him by making it look like the establishment is out to get Donald Trump?
The country really never having heard anything like this since the days of Richard Nixon, and of course he ultimately left. But here we're on a different course. Here again, Republican Jeff Flake on the Senate floor yesterday saying he knows crossing the president is politically dangerous, but said Flake it is necessary.
We must never regard as normal the regular and casual undermining of our democratic norms and ideals. We must never meekly accept the daily sundering of our country. The personal attacks, the threats against principles, freedoms, and institution, the flagrant disregard for truth and decency.
Flagrant disregard for truth and decency from the Oval Office, he is saying there. Aaron Blake with the Washington Post, it's great to have you with us on this day. Please stand by there in Washington. From Milwaukee, Wisconsin right now, Charlie Sykes joins us, a former host of the talk radio show Middays with Charlie Sykes, author of the book How the Right Lost Its Mind. He was a strong opponent of Donald Trump's campaign, very conservative in the days when he was on the air, but he has looked back with and looks around now with a lot of skepticism. Charlie Sykes, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Tom.
What did you make of Jeff Flake's cry from the heart on the Senate floor?
Well, I agree with Aaron, and I disagree. I actually don't think that it was a white flag, even though he did bail out of re-election. I thought it was a remarkably strong, even eloquent plea to the conscience of his fellow conservatives. Now, I understand that he had probably an 18% approval rating and he was not going to win that primary. But I think political courage has become so rare that we've lost the ability to recognize it in certain respects. When he wrote that book, The Conscience of a Conservative, he basically was willing to put his political career, his career in the United States Senate, on the line. By standing up for Donald Trump, he basically committed political suicide because of the extent to which Donald Trump, frankly, has corrupted the Republican Party. The reality is that Donald Trump has changed the nature of the conservative movement. And what I think Jeff Flake was, you know, was saying in his appeal for decency and honor and in truth is that perhaps at the moment there's no place for those values in the Republican Party that that Donald Trump is shaping after his own image.
Honesty, decency, and truth with no place in the GOP. That's a kind of incredible thing to say. Charlie, can we I realize this never happens, but put politics or day-to-day politics aside for a moment here and take Jeff Flake at face value. I mean, he is, and Bob Corker, warning about the debasement of the nation, warning about dangers to democracy itself in this president. Should we all be running around with our hair on fire taking that seriously, Charlie?
Well, we ought to take it very, very seriously. And these comments were, of course, you know, long overdue. What's interesting and what's, I think, extraordinary about what both Senator Corker and Senator Flake said yesterday was they were talking not about a specific policy difference, although they alluded to some of them in terms of our role in the world. They were talking about the damage that Donald Trump's character, his judgment, his erratic behavior, his contempt for democratic norms, all of those things, the effect that it's having on the political culture and the culture of the country as a whole. I thought it was interesting that Jeff Flake was talking about what kind of a role model is Donald Trump. You know, we teach our kids to be honest and not to engage in bullying, and yet what are they seeing? So they went to a very interesting place. It's an important appeal. I know that they speak for many other Republicans, but as Aaron points out, right now in the current political environment, those other elected Republicans are keeping their heads down. They understand that the Republican voting base, the people who vote in primaries, are still with Donald Trump. And frankly, I think that what we're finding out is that where Jeff Flake found out to his disappointment was there really is not that much of a constituency right now for the politics of decency and civility.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Republican Senator Jeff Flake's broadside attack on President Trump as reckless, outrageous, and Bob Corker says debasing this country as Flake bows out of his own reelection bid. Bob Corker already bowed out there. Both of them speaking up yesterday, and this after George Bush, after John McCain, but a whole lot of Republicans not on this train. You can join us this hour. What do you think? Will other Republicans step up and join this chorus, or is it just those who are out or on their way out? Are Paul Ryan and company justified in sticking with the president to pursue their agenda? Trump supporters, how do you hear the deep criticism of President Trump? Are you not worried by his vulgarity, coarseness, volatility? Do you see him debasing the country? Aaron Blake is with us, senior political reporter for The Washington Post. Charlie Sykes is here, former host of the talk radio show Middays with Charlie Sykes. He sort of turned around and wrote a book called How the Right Lost Its Mind as Donald Trump Rose. Andy Sarabian joins us in a moment. He was right there in the thick of the Trump campaign, the Bannon office in the White House, and we'll get that perspective. But first, Jeff Flake will give him his due here. There he was, right on the floor of the Senate, saying it's time to stand up to politically destructive behavior.
Mr. President, I rise today to say enough. We must dedicate ourselves to making sure that the anomalous never becomes the normal. with respect and humility, I must say that we have fooled ourselves for long enough that a pivot to governing is right around the corner. A return to civility and stability right behind it.
Not going to happen with this president, he's saying there. If the shoe were on the other foot, if it were a Democrat behaving in this way, it was Flake.
Were the shoe on the other foot, would we Republicans meekly accept such behavior on display from dominant Democrats? Of course we wouldn't, and we would be wrong if we did.
Children are watching, said Jeff Flake.
It is often said that children are watching. Well, they are. And what are we going to do about that? When the next generation asks us, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you speak up? What are we going to say?
Jeff Flake, senator, on his way out of the Senate at the end of his current term, not running now for re-election. Charlie Sykes, just on the merits, is it as bad as he says? I mean, this is about as severe a sort of line of criticism of a sitting president as you could make. Is it that bad?
Well, I've been saying many of these things for a year and a half. So, yes, I actually do think it is that bad. It's also not something that should come as a surprise to any of the Republicans in Washington. If I had one criticism of Senator Corker, it would be, you know, his belated recognition of some of these traits, which were, I think, manifestly obvious throughout 2015 and 2016. But I also think that the point that Senator Flake was making about the danger of normalizing this behavior, you really do see that we're constantly moving the bar of what is acceptable, that it has become normalized for a lot of the population. And also it's being modeled by so many of the other people in politics, the politics of insult and smash mouth and demeaning, the lack of any sort of meaningful, serious discussion of issues. All of these things are seeping into the political culture. I suppose the hope was that Donald Trump was a one-off, that he was a black swan. But I do think that he's making his mark not just on the Republican Party, but on politics as a whole.
Aaron Blake, your senior political reporter at The Washington Post, if it is as bad as Jeff Flake says, and of course not everyone's going to agree with that, but if it is, why are so many Republicans voting against the Flake view? Why are, you know, you're saying the voting base is going with Donald Trump. If there's a lack of decency, of honesty, of capacity, Bob Corker says he's unfit, he's unable, he can't rise to it. If it's debasing the nation, corrupting our children's view of what this country is, what's going on with the electorate, Aaron, if all that's true?
Well, I think it goes back to the clip you just played at the start after the break. Jeff Flake talking about how everybody keeps waiting for the pivot to when Donald Trump will start being more presidential.
Wait a minute. Really? You think voters who are going against Flake are doing that because they think Donald Trump's going to be more presidential? I don't think so. I think they're going with the Trump way.
I don't necessarily know that they think it's going to change. I think that if you look at polling, they are turned off by a lot of this stuff. There was a Pew poll this week, in fact, that showed only, I think, 41% of the core conservative, that was the group they identified mm-hmm. as the most conservative part of the GOP base, only 41% said that they liked President Trump's conduct in office. Only 44% said that they agreed with most or all of his policies. They don't necessarily like all this stuff. They do like the overall tenor of him taking it to the establishment. And so I think the details are a lot less important here as the overall tone that he's setting here. And as long as Trump does that, I think that the base is going to be with him. I don't think this is a fever, as Jeff Flake said it. I think this is something that's been brewing in the party for a long time, and they just finally have a national politician on the grandest scale who is delivering on the things that they've been asking for in these primaries for a number of years now.
Charlie Sykes, how do you interpret it? How's it feel? I mean, you have been a tough critic of President Trump, said many of the things that Jeff Flake is saying yesterday, and now you and Jeff are out on a kind of looks like a not that big a limb here, Charlie. So what does that say to you about the electorate?
Well, I think Aaron is absolutely right about that. I think that what Jeff Flake is about to find out is that we're on a much smaller desert island than than we perhaps expected. I think it was pretty obvious that the mainstream conservatives were going to be in the wilderness. I don't think we realized it was going to be quite this lonely. But I do think that they're.
What does it mean, Charlie? If you can have that whole bill of devastating criticism, and it doesn't matter.
Well, it does not matter for a lot of folks. I think there's an interesting process that a lot of these Republican voters and also members of Congress are going through, is to rationalize much of Trump's behavior as matters of style or personality. I read one article by a leading conservative intellectual who kept referring to Donald Trump's brashness. These are all euphemisms to not deal with fundamental issues of character and judgment and honesty and decency. And that's what I think Corker is talking about. That's what Flake is talking about. But our capacity to rationalize is tremendous. But also the power of this tribalized politics, which we've talked about almost endlessly, is on display, that as long as the tribe rallies around Donald Trump, they're going to overlook much of this bizarre behavior. As long as they get their Supreme Court justices, as long as you can cause some liberal tears, they're going to accept, and they're going to they're not going to object to the tweet storms or the feuds with Gold Star parents, et cetera, et cetera.
And they're not going to say, I mean, you know, Corker's saying you're debasing the nation. That's kind of the ultimate debasing the nation is about as low as you can get. That's fine.
Well, I don't think that they would accept that. I think that they're willing to accept the conduct. I personally agree with Senator Corker. I think the damage that's going to be done is going to last much longer than the Trump presidency. And this is also, you know, one of the debates, whether or not we ought to look at the Trump administration in terms of its policies. You know, a lot of conservatives will say, well, yes, he's doing all of these things, you know, but we're getting what we want. We're getting tax reform. We're getting this. We're going to, you know, do this on health care. He's rolling back regulations. We're happy with those things. But there once was a time, I'm old enough to remember, when conservatives understood that character really mattered and the character of the country was fundamentally important, was a fundamental conservative value. And I do think that that's being lost right now in this hyper-partisan, hyper-tribal world we're living in.
I mean, we should be careful to point out, it wasn't just character that was being criticized yesterday. Bob Corker, once again, bringing up the president's fitness, his ability to handle the job, warning about war and destruction here. At the White House, very different attitude. Sarah Huckabee Sanders essentially saying about Flake, good riddance.
I think that based on previous statements and certainly based on the lack of support that he has from the people of Arizona, it's probably a good move.
Good move. That is pulling out of his reelection campaign. And Steve Bannon, President Trump's former advisor, now working to defeat Republicans like Jeff Flake. Here he was out on the campaign trail in Arizona just last week, stumping for Flake's Senate primary challenger, Republican Kelly Ward.
It's an open revolt, and it should be. These people hold you in total contempt. When they attack a Donald Trump and a Dr. Kelly Ward, it's not Donald Trump and Kelly Ward they're trying to shut up. It's you they're trying to shut up. They think that you're a group of morons.
Steve Bannon saying, yeah, let's go. No more flakes, please. Charlie Sykes and Aaron Blake, please stand by. Andy Sarabian joins us right now from Washington, senior advisor for the Great America Alliance, a pro-Trump group, former political advisor for Steve Bannon in the White House, a veteran of the Trump campaign. Andy Sarabian, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hey, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
What did you think of that sort of top-to-bottom scathing critique of this presidency by Senator Flake yesterday?
Sure. I mean, I don't think it should come as a surprise to hear that from someone I would label as America's top never Trumper. But I would push back on one thing, this idea that this was all about courage. You know, Jeff Flake is showing all this courage. You have to remember, when Jeff Flake originally came out against Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign, he and many others thought Donald Trump was going to lose the election. In a lot of ways, even if Jeff Flake might, I'm sure he has, I know he has his policy disagreements on immigration, trade, and foreign policy, but so many of these folks, from Jeff Flake to Dean Heller, thought they were making the smart political move by opposing the president.
Yeah, but he never turned around, Andy, like a lot of others did. I mean,
you are right. That's a fair point. You have someone like Dean Heller who's doing everything they can to pull the wool over the eyes of voters in Nevada and pretending to be best friends with the president. I think that's a fair point. But at the same time, the polling in his race from the very beginning has always showed that the fact that he was such an outspoken never Trumper during the campaign was something that he can never run from. And I think a lot of these other guys like Dean Heller are going to learn the same lesson as they come up for re-election in 2018, because the voters, and I think a lot of that has to do with the internet, the voters today aren't as stupid as some folks in the Beltway think they are. They can sniff out phonies, and I think that's exactly what will happen in 2018.
I mean, you say it's not courage. I don't know. That smacks a little bit of Donald Trump calling, John McCain, bringing his courage into doubt. Jeff Flake is standing by this, even as his Senate political career goes down in flames. Maybe he'll come back in some other way.
His Senate political career was already going down in the flames. And then, listen, he has no choice but to stand by it by now at this point. I mean, he wasn't going to win this race. The polling from the very beginning showed that he would not win this race. Listen, he wrote a book. You have to stand by that. And now he's going to get plaudits from the mainstream media for the next 14 months. And they're going to praise him as this paragon of courage. And I'm not saying that there are definitely legitimate policy differences between Jeff Flake and President Trump. But I don't know if I buy that this is all purely philosophical. I think there's a political motive here, too. And I think most politicians, I was listening to Charlie and Aaron, they made some good points. There are a lot of Republicans that are pretending to stand with the president for political reasons because they know that they can't get elected or reelected without his support.
Tim in Mentor, Ohio. Tim, you're on the air with Andy Sarabian, Charlie Sykes, Aaron Blake.
Hi, Tom. I would disagree with the previous comments. I think at its core, it is courage. And I think in a way, it's as odd as it seems, it's refreshing. I haven't seen this type of leadership since the election. I can now finally point my son to this man and say, this is what it is to be a man. Regardless of the motive, whether it's somewhat political or it's not philosophical enough, the man took a stand. At a time when no one else, certainly in his party, is willing to do that publicly. And I think it is courage. And it, like I say, it's refreshing. It is also very serious. And what's sad is to look down the line and to see that this will go away after a week and we'll go on to the next hiccup or the next tweet. And, we're far from critical mass, but... I see this in my own family.
But you're glad to hear it, Tim, and we've got that. And forgive me, but I think we've got the heart of that. Let me take it to you, Andy. What about it? I mean, Corker and Flake, and Corker, who was a very early supporter of Donald Trump.
Sure.
They're essentially saying now, this is a bad guy. This is a bad man leading the country, and Republicans in the country, you can't put up with this.
I mean, obviously, I would totally disagree with those comments. But you know what real political courage would have been if before Bob Corker decided that he wasn't going to run for re-election, if he told the American people what he apparently really thinks? And I guess this goes back to what Steve Bannon, myself, and others are trying to do. We're trying to elect Republicans that actually agree with the president on issues like foreign policy, trade, and immigration, and don't just pretend to agree with him for political reasons.
Yeah, but maybe he learned on the job. I mean, he came in early, Andy. I don't think that's quite fair to Bob Corker. He came in early for Donald Trump.
He didn't come in for Donald Trump until it was apparent that Donald Trump was going to win the nomination.
And he's saying, now I've learned. I've watched and I've learned.
Well, it's easy to say that when there's no political consequences anymore for him saying that. After he decided that he was not going to run for re-election, it's real easy to go out there and say anything you want to say. But I think one thing that's getting missed here is there's a fundamental misunderstanding of what's going on in the Republican Party. I've heard some folks say, hey, the Republican Party is changing. President Trump has changed the Republican Party. And I actually completely disagree with that. I think for the first time in my lifetime, the Republican Party is actually reflecting the will of its voters. Listen, George H.W. Bush said no new taxes. And what did we get? We got more taxes. John McCain ran for Senate by saying, we're going to build a wall. And what did they try to shove down the voters' throat? They tried to shove down an amnesty bill. And for the first time, I think the Republican establishment is having to wake up to the fact that the party all along hasn't exactly been what they assumed it to be.
Charlie Sykes, this is the real GOP, the real voters coming to the fore. What do you say?
There is some truth to that. This situation in the Republican Party was clearly a pre-existing condition. But at some point, I think the Trumpists are going to have to acknowledge that, you know, you guys did win the election. You are the establishment. Steve Bannon appears to be more concerned with burning things down and getting revenge than advancing any sort of a coherent governing philosophy. I think that what you're seeing now is that the Republicans who had stoked this perpetual outrage machine for the last decade are having a hard time containing it. They're having a hard time controlling some of the forces they have released. And good luck with that. Good luck with a United States Senate in which you replace statesmen like Bob Corker with going forward, if that in fact is going to be what the Republican Party is about to become.
Charlie Sykes, author of How the Right Lost Its Mind, in Milwaukee with us today. Thank you very much for being here, Charlie.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Andy Sarabian, senior advisor with the Great America Alliance. Andy, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Republicans. Senator Jeff Flake's broadside attack on President Trump as reckless, outrageous. Bob Corker saying he's debasing this country as Flake and Corker bow out of their reelection bids. Flake just yesterday, and then came that big speech on the floor of the Senate. Bob Corker chiming in as he and Donald Trump went at it. Here was Corker telling reporters yesterday he hoped the Trump presidency would be better than it is right now.
There were many people, I was one of those, that hoped that, you know, he would rise to the occasion as president and aspire to lead our nation instead of dividing it. And, you know, it's obvious his political model and governing model is to divide. And he has not risen to the occasion.
Has not risen to the occasion. And what does the president speak? Untruth, said Bob Corker.
Much of what he says is untrue. Certainly people here are, because these things are provably untrue. I mean, just they're just factually incorrect, and people know the difference. So I don't know why he lowers himself to such a low, low standard and debases our country in the way that he does, but he does.
Debases our country, kind of language that you've got to go decades, maybe back to Richard Nixon and the time when he was threatened with impeachment. All the way back in the 70s, and even then, I don't know. Here's some more from Jeff Flake's speech on the Senate floor yesterday.
The principles that underlie our politics, the values of our founding, are too vital to our identity and to our survival to allow them to be compromised by the requirements of politics. Because politics can make us silent when we should speak, and silence can equal complicity. I have children and grandchildren to answer to. And so, Mr. President, I will not be complicit or silent.
And he said, everybody should stand up.
We must be unafraid to stand up and speak out as if our country depends on it, because it does. I plan to spend the remaining 14 months of my Senate term doing just that.
Republicans, Democrats, you can join us this hour. Do we have a danger to democracy in the Oval Office, to decency, honesty, truth? The capacity to govern even in question there. Republicans, is Donald Trump's party what you want to be? Aaron Blake is with us, senior political reporter at The Washington Post. It's great to have Aaron here and with us right now as well from Salt Lake City, Utah, McKay Coppins, staff writer for The Atlantic. McKay Coppins, welcome back to On Point. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thanks for having me.
What's happening to the GOP? Is it becoming Donald Trump's party, or is there a underground resistance, and Flake and Corker are just peeping their heads up? What's going on?
That's the billion-dollar question, right? Whose party is this? I actually interviewed Jeff Flake for the first time just a couple weeks after Donald Trump was sworn in, and I was working on a profile of Flake, and mm-hmm. And I kind of followed him through the first months of the Trump presidency, and I watched as his alarm grew, his alarm about the state of our national politics, our political culture, about the state of the Republican Party, about President Trump's character. He started out kind of being you know, cautious, and he wasn't, he had never endorsed Trump, but he was hoping that maybe Trump could be better than he was on the campaign trail. And he grew increasingly pessimistic about that. And he made this kind of, I remember early on when I talked to him, he made this kind of gamble that he thought that, you know, sooner or later the fever was going to break, in his words, and that politics would snap back to normal and Americans would reject the kind of toxic politics that he believed the president was promoting. And that belief, that confidence, seemed to kind of weaken over the course of the first year of the Trump presidency. And I talked to him last night. I have a piece up at The Atlantic about it. And he just sounded tired. It seems like he has come to the realization that at least for now, this is Donald Trump's party, and there's not a lot of room for Republicans like him in it.
All kinds of response here. Patrick writes online, Trump voters and supporters have sold their souls by unleashing this political berserker. I guess he's talking about the president and his scorched earth tactics, all for their narrow self-interest. But John, listening to Jeff Flake and him bowing out of the re-election campaign, says it seems that the term bow out implies more grace, like an actor bowing off stage, getting angry and stamping your feet because the electorate rejects you should have a term like tantruming out. Oliver in Midway, Massachusetts. Oliver, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes, Mr. Ashbrook. President Trump is being nickel and dimed. He's being persecuted. There's never been a U.S. president in American history who's been so maligned and persecuted. Let's look at the facts. Don't take it from me. From the day that he was put in office, he was persecuted by Charles Schumer, Adam Schiff, Bernie Sanders, Dianne Feinstein.
Well, those
Barbara
are his political Boxer. Opponents. Why wouldn't they go, you know, be rough on him?
Listen. And then from his own being turned on by Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, now Jeff Flake, Bob Corker. Look, President Trump has tried to get, has been courageous in trying to get his laws passed, the $1 trillion infrastructure, the Mexico wall put up, health care put into place, tax cuts put into place. The man has been nickeled and dimed, sabotaged, the word I would use is sabotaged at every end, and let's not...
So what do you want, Oliver? Do you say clear the way, let him go, give him his agenda, go President Trump?
Let me give you an analogy. When FDR was running the Second World War, could you imagine if he was nickeled and dimed in fighting Germany and Japan? We would have never won the war. What I'm saying is that he's got a toxic. You talk about toxic. You got a toxic media. You got a toxic.
This
media.
Isn't media, Oliver. That's not fair. This is Senator John McCain. This is Senator Bob McCorker. This is former President George W. Bush. This is Senator Jeff Flake. These are sitting. These are Republicans and a past president.
Yeah. They're all turncoats. They're all stabbing them in the back. They're all abandoning ship. They all have sour grapes. This is what's going on. They want to do anything to sabotage, destroy this president, even though it's their own, eat their own, as I would say, and it's wrong. And you talk about dangerous. If President Trump can't get these measures, the $1 trillion infrastructure, our country's falling apart, health care, jobs brought to
I haven't
America.
Really even seen him try on the infrastructure.
Disintegrate.
Oliver, we got it, and I appreciate your call. Wow. Aaron Blake, is that the straight voice of the base right there that Bannon and Trump are turning to?
I thought that he summed up how the base feels pretty well there. One thing I would quibble with is this idea that the Republican Party, the official Republican Party in Congress, is trying to thwart this agenda. This is the first time they've had control of Congress and the presidency for the last decade or so. This was an historic opportunity. This is a big reason Republicans stuck by Trump as long as they have. They want to pass a health care bill. They want to pass tax reform. The idea that they're just trying to, undo Donald Trump just doesn't really add up. They want to pass all these pieces of legislation. They just haven't been able to do it. And I would add, by the way, in a lot of cases, it's because the president himself hasn't been willing to lean on people, has given very conflicting signals about exactly what he wants from this legislation. And so I just don't buy the idea that they want Donald Trump to fail. They want this agenda to pass. It just hasn't been working.
McKay, we heard Andy Sarabian there, who's been very tight with the Trump campaign at first, and then with Steve Bannon in the White House, saying, come on, this is the stuff, this is what people really want. But then you've got Jeff Flake saying, this president is dangerous to democracy. Now, democracy if we take him at face value, democracies have in history voted themselves into the hands of tyrant. It's happened. You know, Americans listening today, I guess everybody has to make up their own mind, but who do you listen to here?
That's right. Well, and you know, I put versions of this question to Jeff Flake last night, and the answer that he gives is that, look, he recognizes that Donald Trump's brand of politics and populism is right now more popular than Jeff Flake's brand of conservatism and his call for, you know, principles and decency. He recognizes that. He gets it. But what he says is that, you know, one of the things he said last night is resentment is ultimately not a governing philosophy. Populism is not a governing philosophy. And yes, you can go through history and point to times where democracies have been overtaken by populists, by demagogues, by people, by authoritarians, frankly, and it begins with often the kind of appeals that Donald Trump has made. Now, if you're Jeff Flake, you believe that, you know, he told me our system, the American democracy system, is strong. It's durable. These institutions are well constructed. They're built to last, and ultimately, you know, we'll snap. You know, people will come to their senses. He's gotten a lot of attention for his speech on the Senate floor, but he also wrote an op-ed yesterday in the Washington Post that I think summed up his case even better, where he basically said what this country needs is kind of a shock to the system and a reawakening of its conscience. And I think that Jeff Flake hopes to be one of the people that delivers that shock to the system.
Jennifer's calling from Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be in Atlanta broadcasting On Point from Georgia Public Radio at the end of this week. Jennifer, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just want to say that I have to keep reminding myself, and I think it bears saying in general, that when we talk about the majority, we talk about the majority of voters, we talk about what's happening in mainstream America, we have to remember that the majority of voters in this country did not support Donald Trump. We don't support what he stands for. We don't support this nightmare that we're going through. And that goes without any additional exploring. That is pure votes. And then if you take into account, which may very well be true, that there was cheating and stealing in this election, hasn't been proven, but may very well be true, it makes that number even smaller.
Well,
so I think a lot of us are being dragged along and thinking, oh, my God, this is our country. I know we're at risk, but this is not the majority of our country.
We've got that, Jennifer, and I appreciate your call. I mean, I want to be careful with the cheating and stealing. The Russia investigation is underway. We'll see what that comes up with. Let's see. Interference there for sure. But even without that, Jennifer is correct that a majority went the other way. What does that count for right now, McKay? The majorities are the majorities in the House and the Senate. The president sits in the Oval Office. What does it matter at this? I mean, it matters something about the character of the American electorate. That's true.
Right. I guess there's a silver lining. It's that, you know, if you're somebody like this caller, then you can at least take solace in the fact that the majority of your fellow Americans don't agree with this president and don't approve of him. But, you know, look, he had enough people agree with him to win the election, right? And I don't think that enough of us in politics and political journalism and punditry are taking seriously the very real prospect that we could be, you know, we could have another 7 years of the Trump presidency. It's entirely possible that Trump could win re-election. He's very good at, as we've seen, kind of locating culture war wedge issues that rally his supporters and turn them against the other half of the country. I don't see him, you know, backing off of that. It's been a very effective tactic. So, I think the question, it's all well and good to say, well, look, but he only has a 40% approval rating or whatever it is. That's fine. But I think that if you're a Democrat or a liberal who believes that you, or frankly, a Republican or conservative who's alarmed by Donald Trump, you need to be thinking seriously about what you can do to defeat him, because that you can't take for granted that just because he always gets negative coverage and because his approval ratings are low that he's just not going to win.
Oh, Aaron, what do people do with this? You know, Flake is there was supportive in the chamber yesterday, but he's essentially saying that Corker's saying the president's debasing the country. But then he's got most of the Republican Party lining up with him. Are others searching their souls, or are they thinking, no, you know what? This is just the right way to go.
Well, if they take the cues from their leaders, they are not going to be jumping on board with this. I thought if you looked at what Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan said yesterday about this whole situation, Paul Ryan was responding only to Corker at the time. But he basically dismissed it as a Twitter feud between Corker and the president. Mm. You know, the criticisms that Bob Corker was making were made on camera in person. He was talking about things that the president had said about North Korea while speaking to the United Nations and in other venues that were very public. I think that the leaders of the Republican Party still want to, you know, make this seem like it's just petty personal politics. I think yesterday it really went beyond that with the criticisms from Corker and Flake. But until McConnell and Ryan decide that this is time to change course and kind of give up on the agenda, the rest of the Republican Party is simply not going to do it.
McKay, do you see any change of course here, or is it steady or rocky as she goes with the Trump presidency and the GOP?
I think that it's very telling that the two of the most outspoken senators in the Republican Party, two of the most outspoken Republican office holders, have both decided that they don't have a future in this Republican Party and in national politics, at least right now. And what that says to me is that the Republicans who want to hang on to their seats, who want to stay in the game, who want to try to get tax cuts passed and health care passed and, you know, any number of other legislative priorities passed are probably going to stay loyal to the president insofar as it keeps those doors open and it serves them well politically. It's a sad state of affairs, but I don't expect a widespread revolt, at least not imminently.
Well, I mean, sad if you agree with Flake and Corker. I guess not sad if you're on board with Steve.
Yeah, and I think more than anything, sad that, you know, this doesn't have a lot to do with principle, right? If you genuinely agree with Trump, then go ahead and do it. I think a lot of these people privately will tell you that they are not fans of the president, but in public they at least maintain a posture of loyalty so that they can stay, you know, keep their jobs.
Republicans speaking up in recent days, and they are not the majority of elected Republicans in Washington, but we've heard them saying the country's at risk, the democracy's at risk. What do we do with that? That's the question. As others say, on we go. McKay Coppins, staff writer at The Atlantic, thank you very much for being with us from Salt Lake City, McKay.
Thank you.
Aaron Blake, senior political reporter for The Washington Post. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Thanks very much, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.